quick little Q&A as we begin today's broadcast of Abounding Grace. Here's Pastor Chris.
Why did he raise up a people? Why did he pull them out? Why did he deliver them? So that through them, the gospel might be preached to the ends of the earth. They would understand the gospel. And that from them, the seed would come, Galatians tells you, who is Christ.
A blessing to all the nations. That is the title of our message today. And it's a look back at God's promise to Abraham. That is the main reason we shall see today and tomorrow as to why God put up with such a rebellious people found here in Exodus. We're in chapter 18, looking at verses 1 through 12 today. Join us, won't you, as we continue our excursion through Exodus. With today's broadcast of Abounding Grace, now once again our teacher and pastor, Pastor Chris Gordon.
This is the word of the Lord, Exodus chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel's people, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Now Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had taken Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her home, along with her two sons. The name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. The name of the other was Eliezer, for he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness where he was encamped at the mountain of God. And when he sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, in coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her, Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them in the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the good that the Lord had done to Israel, and that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, because in this affair they dealt arrogantly with the people. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. Israel has really had no sense, no appreciation for why God was doing all that he was doing for them. And that's a shocking thing to say. They haven't shown much gratitude. They haven't shown much thanksgiving. They haven't appreciated much of anything, have they? There has been nothing but complaining along the way, and it's been startling to see how deep-rooted that problem has been. All they seemed to be about was their comforts in the wilderness. Talk about a navel-gazing people. Was this just about them? It's really remarkable because they saw everything that the Lord had done for them. They didn't have it handed to them in a book, and they had to read about it, right? They saw with their eyes this stuff. They saw Moses plunder the nation with his rod, knowing that the Lord was doing this when he turned the Nile into blood. They saw his power. They saw his plagues. They saw the sea heap up. They passed through safely. They saw quail. They saw manna drop on their doorsteps in the wilderness. They saw the split rock. They saw all this and were wondering at this point, are they believing? Last section, they charged God with not even being with them. I mean, it's just astonishing, isn't it? And what didn't they understand about what God was doing? Did they know? Did they get it? Did they understand why God was doing all this? Did they understand why God was doing this and showing his great power in this way? Hadn't this been the greatest problem for them to understand this and appreciate this and show gratitude with this? You feel like God has to just pull them through the desert. God has to wake them up. The whole time they're miserable, unthankful, complaining malcontents. Why was God doing all this? Why was God doing all this? Are things any different for us? Why is God doing all this for us? Why has he done all this, these things for us? Why has he helped us and blessed us and saved us? I wonder if it's easy to go forward into wilderness life and forget why God's doing what he's doing. And then it just sort of all becomes about us and our group and our problems, and everything sort of turns inward after a while. The Lord had to remind Israel of something along the way. Remember what the Lord reminded Israel? That the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness. You're a stubborn people. Remember and don't forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day you came up out of the land until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. No, it's not because of your righteousness. It's not because you're so special and have done so many good things. He says that I'm doing this for you. It's not because of the uprightness of your heart that you're going in and getting the land. And then he tells them why. I'm doing all this that I may confirm the word that I, the Lord, swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The great promise of the Abrahamic covenant, we call it, or the covenant of grace, remember Genesis 15 when the pieces were cut, was that, and the Lord kept speaking this the whole time from Genesis 12 on in this gracious covenant that he was making with Abraham. Remember what the Lord said to Abraham, the great thing he would do from his seed? From his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Do we know that was God's purpose in all this? Why did he raise up a people? Why did he pull them out? Why did he deliver them? So that through them, the gospel might be preached to the ends of the earth. They would understand the gospel. And that from them, the seed would come, Galatians tells you, who is Christ. So you see how awful their behavior has been. They're not getting what the very purpose is of their existence, what it is to proclaim, what it is to tell. They have no sense of it. And their inward-focused, complaining life along the way demonstrated that. Now, that's the heart of this evening, that the Lord is giving a display of his intention and why he's doing all that, all this for them tonight, and that he desires for us to understand as his people, since the problem is just as real, why he is delivering us, why he has saved us, and what he is accomplishing in this great deliverance. That gives the church every kind of motivation to tell others the story of redemption. That gives the church every kind of motivation to tell the plan of salvation, what God has done, to make it known, as we sing out from Psalm 22, to the ends of all the earth, that they may hear about our King. And that's what I want to look at with you tonight, that great intention of the Lord in pulling them out and how he puts that on display. You'll notice in verse 1 of Exodus chapter 18 that we read, Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Now Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had taken Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he sent her home along with her two sons. What a fascinating section. News is spread everywhere, by the way. All the nations are talking. They've heard about this God of Israel. They've heard about this God who came, and think about this, how powerful this is. This is a polytheistic world. All these nations have their gods, and they've heard about this certain God who came down and pummeled the greatest nation on the earth. And the evidence of it is Egypt's just a mess. Remember when they come into the land and Rahab says, "We have heard. And when we heard what the Lord did to the Egyptians and what he did for you, our hearts melted. Here you were coming." We find something interesting. All these groups are talking about this. They've heard. They don't know a lot. They've heard. At some point after the Exodus, Moses had sent Zipporah and his sons ahead. It's a strange sort of interjection that you stop and you say, well, what in the world is going on here? There's emphasis on this in the text. You didn't just do that. You didn't send in where they were traveling a woman and the two sons like that, ahead in the rugged wilderness, open to attack and dangers. Why in the world would Moses do that? What is going on here? Why would you send his wife and sons away from the community, away from the pillar, away from the Lord's presence, into the barren wilderness, to ahead, back to Jethro? Anything anyone says after this point is all speculation. You understand that. And boy, does everyone do it. It was a common belief that by the Jews that Moses gave Zipporah a certificate of divorce because she was a bitter woman. Remember when the circumcision happened and she said, "You're a husband of blood to me." And they say, "See, she was a bitter woman. Moses put her away." That's not very nice to this great humble prophet, is it? Calvin said in his day, the view was that she was enraged on account of the circumcision incident and turned back herself. Calvin himself didn't believe that. Calvin believed that Moses was showing compassion on his wife to give her time to be with her father. I like that. But here's the fact. It's all evident, it seems from the text, that Zipporah went down when they packed up and left. That Zipporah went down to Egypt. That Zipporah and the two sons came out of Egypt just like everyone else. And at some point in the wilderness way, Moses sends her ahead. Now, if all the commentators can speculate, I'm going to do it for a moment. He takes his wife, puts her on a donkey, rides away the sons. And I ask the question, why would he do that? What has been driving Moses the whole time? He wasn't always the way he is now. He was a complainer to start, wasn't he? God met him at the burning bush, and God made things very clear. Moses tried to get out of it from the beginning, and he made very clear what he had promised, and made very clear that God was fulfilling the promise to Abraham as he referenced Abraham to Moses and explained he was giving Abraham's people the land. What did God say through Moses was the reason he was doing this in Exodus chapter 9? "I have raised you up for this very purpose, Israel," and Pharaoh actually, "that I might show you my power and that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." That was said in the midst of the plagues. I want my name proclaimed through this. I want my name made known through this. Proclaimed to who? Moses is believing the promises made to Abraham. All of this before the giving of the law, all you see the gospel program in place, you see deliverance, you've seen salvation, you've seen bread come down from heaven, you've seen water given in the wilderness, and God had said from the beginning that what would happen in the Abrahamic covenant of grace is that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through the seed. Notice Moses records here that his sons' names had meaning. Gershom means sojourner. Eliezer, Moses even proclaims here afterwards, the God of my father is my help. The God of my father is my help. Moses is so trusting the promise right now. And it's shining in his naming of his sons. And Moses was proclaiming to Israel in his own sons' names faith. But what had Israel been saying? "God wants to kill us." Moses says, "They want to stone me." So I believe Moses takes his wife and two sons and sends them off as a testimony of faith before Israel of the promise. You say, "How can you be sure?" I can't really be sure. But it has happened before. Who else did this? Abraham. Twice. He packed up Hagar on the donkey and Ishmael, sent them away. And then he had all these sons by Keturah. And we read in Genesis that while he was still living, He sent them away. And the whole picture in Genesis was Abraham was doing this with understanding and in faith. Why? Because Isaac was the seed. Isaac was the son of promise. Now, why was Abraham sending away his sons? Why was Abraham doing this? Because he heard that in Isaac his seed shall be called. And in Isaac and Israel, the nations would be blessed. I'm sending your son, think about this, Abraham, to Egypt, the seed of promise. And he's going to come out, and from him, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, and your inheritance will be as the sand on the seashore. Here's where this gets wonderful. Who was one of the sons that Abraham sent away? Listen to this. Abraham again took a wife. Her name was Keturah, and she bore him Midian. Midian. In faith, what Abraham did was pack up Midian and his other sons, they're all mentioned there, and sent them eastward, away from Isaac. He believed that one day his son would be a blessing to this son. Do you follow me? He believed one day this son Isaac, Jacob, Israel, would be a blessing to this son. Now, do I know that's in Moses' mind? I don't. But that to me is the best speculation. Moses trusts. Moses believes the promise. And it challenges us, it challenged Israel to live by faith in the promise themselves. Here's my question. Israel had done nothing but complain. Did they understand the project was bigger than their own earthly wants and their own earthly desires? Did they get that? Did they understand that? It seems like everything has been so inward on them. Did Israel know what God had saved them unto? Did Israel know what God was doing through them? Did Israel know that they were the people intended to be from them, thus seed would come to be a blessing to all the nations? That all the peoples of the earth, the Lord would say, and Solomon would later pray in his temple when the temple went up, that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you. The nations might come. Sometimes we're so inward focused, we're miserable about our own wilderness life, we totally forget the bigger plan. We totally forget the bigger picture, that it's bigger than us. And we're unable to see the purposes of God working out. They're working. One of the worst sins in the church today is that we've become so inwardly focused, and inward focus and complaining and turmoil, that we forget why we were brought out ourselves. And before us, we have a great display of the reason. That's why I love this passage. They come to Sinai, as God had promised, and lo and behold, Jethro sends, and he brings his wife. Moses didn't go get his wife and children. He goes to Sinai because that's where God promised he would bring him in Exodus chapter 3. And so Jethro is bringing the wife and the sons. And I want you to step into Jethro's shoes for a moment. He's the priest of Midian. Is a large flock himself. Moses had cared for his flock. This is where Moses was taught to be a shepherd. Jethro walks up to Sinai, the mountain of God, walks close in the distance, and he looks, and there are 2 million people. He left. Think about that. He had left with just Zipporah and his sons. Now 2 million are standing there. I can't imagine what that must have been like for Jethro, but notice what happens. Moses cares for his father-in-law. We read in verse 7 that Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and he bowed down and he kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they went into the tent. They had the typical greeting and embrace of the time, and they go and they sit down, and notice what's on Moses' heart. Notice what's burdening Moses' heart here. He is so overwhelmed by God's goodness to him and to Israel. He wants Jethro to know this. I love this. Keep in mind, His father, Jethro, is a descendant of Abraham. In mind, Midian was sent away. Midian was pagan. Jethro was a priest, which means he believed in all the gods. He was a syncretist. He believed like the day of all the different gods of the lands. He believed in his own gods. He believed in the God of Israel. And he was very much like many of the people that we meet today that you come across in everyday life. They are religious, but they're not yet convinced that Jesus is the only way. They are religious and they'll accept your God, but they have their own gods. They're not quite sure, are they? They see all religions as equal and all having some value and all offering something to help people. Jethro could be your American. Moses cares. Moses comes and he sees his father-in-law. Look at the love for his pagan father-in-law. Bows down. Respects him. Honors him. I mean, I could have a million father-in-law jokes right now, and I won't do that. Loves him. Totally appropriate to the culture of the time. Shows as much respect and as much honor as he can for this man. Culturally possible, that's what Moses does. And then it says something just beautiful in the Hebrew. You have it said here that Moses told. It's the word for proclaim. Moses proclaimed to him, to his father-in-law, all that the Lord had done for Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them in the way and how the Lord had delivered them. Remember, this whole section was about what the Lord was doing. Moses just proclaimed the gospel to his father-in-law. All he can speak of are the wonders of the Lord. All he can speak of are the wonders of the Lord for Israel. All that the Lord had done to Pharaoh. All that the Lord had done to the Egyptians for their sakes. God, let me tell you about this, Jethro. I've got to tell you what I just went through. This is wonderful. God thundered down in power.
Question as we close out our time today is really quite simple, isn't it? And doesn't need a rocket scientist to remind us of it. Have we been that kind of witness for God's grace in our lives? Well, you're listening to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who will return in just a moment with a look ahead to our next broadcast. Questions, comments about the program, as always, are more than welcome. We'd love to hear from you. How's the program encouraging you in your walk and relationship with Christ? Reach out to us. Let us know, won't you? Our number is 888-504-8805. Or you can visit us online, agradio.org. Now, that is a great resource to have handy. Not only do we have past programs available online at our website, we also have jumping off points to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as recent articles written by Pastor Chris and other friends of the ministry. Again, agradio.org. We also would like to remind you that you're a very key part of this ministry, Abounding Grace Radio. Through your financial partnership with us and prayerful support, we are able to continue this ministry, not only on this station, but others as well. So would you please consider partnering with us financially, whether it's a one-time gift, a monthly gift, no gift is too small or too large. Reach out to us again at agradio.org or call us at 888-504-8805. Well, as promised, once again, Pastor Chris with a sneak peek at tomorrow's program.
When's the last time someone said, hey, you know, asked you how you're doing, and you said, well, the events of my life have been terrible. I've been suffering depression. I've got anger in my heart. I've been drinking too much. I've got a sin I can't beat. My loved one's sick. We always say, great, everything's going well, isn't it? Our witness is very weak sometimes, because we're hiding the dark realities of sin. The sin that once held us in bondage. The sins that so easily at one time ensnared us. But we're here tonight, sustained by God's power. How Christ has sustained you in the wilderness. Do you know it? It's a plain, it's an honest, it's a clear, it's a heartfelt, simple testimony of the realities of sin and the Lord's deliverance and help.
That's tomorrow on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us then.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.